نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد معدن الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي الفاطم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحابي وزواجي وذرياتي وأهل بيته أجمعين، أما بعد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد.
This universe that we are in, this dunya, this world, all of this that Allah Ta'ala has created, all of the creation Allah has made for a purpose, for a reason. Nobody can reject this fact that all these things behind the creation, that there's a purpose, an objective, must be a reason behind that Allah Ta'ala has created the whole universe that we're in. It's not for some no reason at all that Allah's made everything. And when in this universe, the living things are here for a reason. So whatever is present in this dunya, which is established, created, maintained, definitely behind it there's an objective, a purpose. Now whether we understand that purpose or we don't understand that purpose, that's another matter. That's another matter. But there's definitely a reason behind the creation of Allah. Those people who understand this purpose and then they practice their lives, mashallah, then they take the full benefit from their life, from their life. And if we don't understand the objective, the reason of creation, we just move around, run around, spend the time, then we cannot attain the objective of life. And then we don't take the benefit from life. Now us sitting here, for example, us coming here, we come maybe every day morning, we come in the evening to the gathering today as well. Some came early, sat down. It's the same gathering, same objective, but one objective that we see physically and that you all are aware of, and it's not hidden, and there was the same announcement that there's a majlis, a gathering of dhikr that's taking place. And this is not the objective of this gathering, that we are just here for dhikr. Yeah? Or talk, etc. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, if we don't know the objective, then what benefit will you get? So what will be the benefit if you don't understand? What's the benefit of sitting down? So first and foremost, think then yourself that coming to this gathering, what's the objective? Why have I come here? Why have I sat down here? What's the reason I'm here today in this gathering? Yes, we do dhikr, but that's not the objective of this gathering. What's the objective, the reason, the purpose? The mission is very big. Why? It's such a big purpose that it's not me who has established this gathering. It's not us, me and you are just sitting here. I'm just copying and following by holding this majlis, this gathering. I'm following Hazrat Ali Murtaza rahmatullah alayhi, his gathering, my sheikh, my teacher, his gathering. What a great wali Allah he was, great sheikh. And I used to go to his gathering, my teacher. And why did he hold a gathering? For this reason, because he was copying Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh rahmatullah, who was his teacher. Yeah? So my sheikh, I was following him. My sheikh was following his teacher. So Hazrat Fazal Ali Qureshi, he didn't just start off these gatherings on his own. Why did he have gatherings? Why did he have majalis? He said that I am copying, I'm following who? My sheikh, Hazrat Sirajuddin Rahmatullah Ali. I'm following him. And people used to say in his gathering, the same way he used to come and do dhikr, in the same way, yes, centuries ago, he didn't do it for himself. He said, what am I doing? I'm copying, following. Hazrat Dost Muhammad Rahmatullah Ali, my teacher. So we're going back in the order now. This is because Hazrat Dost Muhammad Sahib, we say, why are you sitting? Just like we're doing dhikr, he did the same way. They used to sit the people, Thursday night, Khanka, same environment. This is the Khanka, isn't it, mashallah, that we're sat in. So in his Khanka, in our Khanka, the lights are on, we've got nice breeze, and we're sat here, and we're wearing nice clothes, and you're sitting here comfortably. Those fakirs, those humble servants, their Khanka is a straw mat, palm mat, no fans, and the mosquitoes are biting them, flies around, flying around, and old clothes, smelly clothes, sweat, and nothing to eat, a little bit of a light smell of food. Ammaji is making some food, and maybe it's potato curry. That's it. And the rotis from the tandoor, the naans from the tandoor. And here, what do you get? Do you remember Manchester now? What we got? MashaAllah. So this is not the reason we're here. The purpose is the same. The gathering's the same. And they had the same objective. Those who sat on palm mats, straw mats, and today we're sat on carpets. We have the same purpose. And we are sitting just like Hazrat Dost Muhammad. Why are you doing dhikr? He said, I'm not doing it. I didn't make it myself. I'm following who? I'm following my sheikh, Hazrat Ahmad Sayyid Rahmatullah Alayhi. He's following his sheikh. Hazrat Ahmad Sayyid, let's go to his gathering. Hazrat Ahmad Sayyid, why are you doing this majlis on Thursday night? I'm not doing it myself. I'm making it. Abu Sayyid Rahimahullah, my sheikh, I'm following him. And then we'll ask Abu Sayyid, is this not the case? We'll ask each sheikh, Hazrat, I've come to your gathering, and why are you doing this? He said, I didn't make this up myself. I'm copying who? Hazrat Shah Abdullah Sahab, Hazrat Shah Abdullah Shah Rahmatullah Alayhi. I'm following him. Okay, let's go to him. And let's go through the Indian subcontinent. Hazrat, why are you doing this? He said, I didn't make this up. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jane Jana Rahmatullah, I'm following him, my sheikh. He holds this gathering. Subhanallah. Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jana, let's go to him. He says, I didn't make this up. So I'm following Hazrat Noor Muhammad Sahib Rahmatullah, my sheikh. So we go to him. He done, I'm making up myself. I'm following Hazrat Muqtada, Hafiz Muqtada, I'm following him. So we go to him, Hazrat, you got this gathering. Why are you holding this gathering? Hazrat Khwaja Masoom comes. The Hazrat Khwaja Masoom, rahmatullah, subhanallah, maybe he had so many students that very seldom you'll see this, that you have, he had 300,000 students around the world, how high lofty status, even they were his children. Why are you doing this? He said, I'm not doing this, I'm following my father. Hazrat, who? Subhanallah, what was his title? His sheikh. Hazrat Mujaddad al-Afthani rahmatullah alayhi, the revival of the deen after one day. Let's go to him. Hazrat, why are you doing this? He said, I didn't make this up. It's not some innovation. I'm following my sheikh, Hazrat Baqi Billah sahab rahmatullah alayhi. He did this gathering. Hazrat Baqi sahab, we go to him. Hazrat, why are you having this gathering, this majlis? What's your purpose? Dhikr? He said, no. It's not me. I've not made it. Huh? Behind me, the hint, Hazrat Subhanallah Shah Naqshband sahab rahmatullah alayhi. I'm following him. Hazrat Shah Naqshband, who's that? He's giving me the order. Okay, let's go. Hazrat sahab, why are you having this gathering? No, it's not me. I'm not doing it myself. I didn't make this up myself. This is Hazrat Shah Qurqan rahmatullah alayhi. You know, that his majlis, I'm just copying that, I'm following that. Hazrat, why are you doing this dhikr? Why have you got this gathering? No, it's not me. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami rahmatullah, I'm just following him. Hazrat Bayazid Bastami, we go to him, let's ask him. Hazrat, why are you holding this gathering? This dhikr, I'm not doing this gathering. Hazrat Jafar. So Ali Rasul, the family, the Ahl Bayt of the Prophet, I'm following him. He did this majlis. Let's go to Hazrat Jafar. He said, no, it's not me. Bote Yar Ghar Qasim. Hazrat Bobakar Sadiq, I'm his grandson. I'm just following him, his majlis, his gathering. Ooh, we're going to the Isle of Egypt. From Bolton we started this sequence. And people are looking at me thinking this is my gathering. I said, why are you doing this gathering? Me? No. It's not me, myself. I have no need to do this. I am following who? Hazrat Salman Farsi, rahmatullah alayhi, radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Salman Farsi. So we ask Hazrat Jafar Sadiq, Salman Farsi, that why are you starting this gathering? Not me. Abu Bakr Sadiq, my companion, I'm following him. Abu Bakr Sadiq, we go to him, radiallahu anhu. Maybe he had some reason. Hazrat, Abu Bakr Siddiq, why have you got this gathering? No, no, me, it's not my gathering. This is the majlis gathering of Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sequence goes back to that. The chain. Imagine this gathering in Bolton that you've come to in the UK that has no connection with me. Who is this connected to? Direct back to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The permission. So imagine the blessings of this gathering. It's not just that we sat here, that me and you sat here to do dhikr. No, there's a big objective of this gathering. Because the Holy Prophet ﷺ, he started this. He's his tariqah, his method. Until the day of judgment, these gatherings will continue. And nobody can stop them. No one's father, no one's relative, no power can stop them. They will spread. Why? Because when Allah is responsible for something, then Allah says in the Quran, can somebody remove the Quran, the masajid? Those who try to, then mashallah, there'll be more people to do this. And more Quran you'll see. What's the reason for this? Because Allah Ta'ala says, this is my system. And in my hand, Allah says, I pull the strings. Allah says, don't look at me. Don't know whose gathering is this? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is his gathering. And spiritually, when you sit in this gathering, then whoever's gathering is, then his spiritual affairs, blessings come to this gathering. So just sit down, be attentive. And you're not coming here to look at me for my sake. I put my hands up, I give up. It's not me. So fortunate and lucky are those people. Think about it yourself. What a great gathering we're sat in. Allah has given us the ability to sit in this gathering. And people make up frustration. I don't want to go. I don't have time. It's too long. It's too hard. Tomorrow, on the day of judgment, we will realize that this gathering, those who wasted this gathering, what are the punishments they will get? What will be their treatment? Have you not read the Quran? Allah says, those people, man arada dhikri, those who make a fuss about my dhikr. Allah says, فَإِنَّ اللَّهُ دَائِكَرْ مَشِيَةٌ دَائِكَرْ. The first punishment. That person, I'll make him hungry and live in poverty. Those people make a fuss and complain, they don't want to do dhikr. Allah says, they criticize, they mock. Allah says in the Quran, clear. That those people, I will make them naked, I will give them poverty and hunger. And they'll be poor. And they'll be desperate. Society-wise, in their life, they'll be desperate. Oh, no, 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 I've got big shops, I've got a business, flourishing business. Turn over. 99, I won't let them, just for £1, they'll be wretched. I won't allow them to make that 100 they want. They will never have sukoon. They'll have 4 factories and 4 floors in their building. They might become millionaires, but they will never have tranquil life. Because he will be the most hungry person is that person. Most poor is that person. That despite having everything, even then he cannot eat his food, he cannot sleep at home, his condition, circumstances, he's upset, mental anxiety, depression, running after money. Even though he's sitting on mounds of money that his generations can eat, but he's not satisfied. Because 99 he's got, he doesn't have that penny to make the pound. And that's why Allah says he'll run hither and thither, that person. Never will he ever live a life of satisfaction, of peace. Mashatun daika, direct Allah says that his circumstances will be imbalanced, will be hungry and desperate in life. Desperate, imbalanced, doesn't matter how much he amasses, wealth, money. And you'll see that he's got everything material, but no peace or tranquility in life. And I can't get peace in my heart. I'm not feeling satisfied. I'm trying more. I want to open up another shop. I want to expand the branches. Or let me bury the money here, open up this new bank balance, or put it under the mattress. Practically I'm speaking to you. But they don't feel ease. The anxiety doesn't go. He doesn't realize that he's got enough to live the life. From his tongue never will come that I've got enough, Allah, alhamdulillah. He'll never say he's satisfied. Who are those people? Those man arada dhikri. Those who run away from dhikr. Those who complain. This is the first punishment. Second punishment, was the Quran say? Allah says that on the day of judgment, this is the right verse, isn't it, Mulana Sahib? What I'm saying? Those people who they complain about doing dhikr, they don't want to do dhikr, who dislike dhikr. It's not my tafsir, the mufassireen pick up their tafsir and read what they say. Those people who complain about dhikr, who dislike dhikr, the second punishment is that on the day of judgment, they will rise up blind. Blind. And they'll be amazed themselves. They will say themselves, Ashiyatun, that Allah, what's happened here? Allah, Ama, that Allah, what's happened to us here? Why have we been risen? Why have we risen like this? We weren't blind in the world. We weren't blind in the world. That we could see when we were in the world. We had eyes, we could see. We could see everything in the world around us. Allah will say, this is the reason that you could see around you in the world. But you didn't see with your eyes, because that's not what you were looking at. Those things you didn't see, the things that you should have looked at. And what was that? Allah says, my law, my sharia, my salah, my fasting, my hajj, my haram, the halal. Allah says, there was the person in the world who was blind, he was better than you, that he could see all of Allah Ta'ala's instructions. Yes, doesn't he come to us? Qari Mohsin sir, Ehsan Mohsin sir, he was blind, isn't he? And look at him. Every moment he's busy doing dhikrullah. Every time he's busy doing dhikr of Allah. And he's never thought that he's blind himself, because he knows more than those who see. He's got hifz of Quran, he's done, mashallah, Darul Uloom, he's running an institution, he's an alim, a scholar, he's memorized the Quran, he's learned Quran, meaning of Quran. And he can't see with his eyes. And we are running after the dunya. In reality, we are blind. Children keep on increasing the dunya. So the real blind person, not that person who physically cannot see in the world, that Allah Ta'ala has taken his vision away. He's not blind. That person, even now he can see if he wants to see. Why? Because if we open the eyes of our heart, subhanAllah, if with the dhikr of Allah we illuminate our heart. I'll give you the example of this. Mohsin Sahab, Qari Mohsin Sahab, mashallah. Yes, he's got respect in the whole of the Indian subcontinent. Why? He said, I was blind. Why should I remain blind? He said, I'm not blind. He said, I've got the vision this side. And imagine the nasheeds he recites and the naats he writes. And he's got love for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is just a temporary restriction. If Allah Ta'ala takes something away, he's not blind. But we ourselves are blind. We ourselves are blind. And we physically can see, but we are blind in reality. Those who have the eyes that can see, they're blind. And those who don't have the eyes here, they are alive because their vision is correct. They are planning correctly for the hereafter, to tell you the truth. If they want, then their eyes are proper and our eyesight is not. And those people who are blind in this world, they'll be double blind in the hereafter. Because we run after the dunya, amassing dunya, and we don't know anything else. Always wife, children, money, dunya. No dhikr, no adhkar, no effort, no Quran, nothing at all. Just wasting our time and just get tired of the dunya. Just keep on making money, keep on making money. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. So this is Islah, development. We need to make ourselves alive. Who are those people who complain and make a fuss about my dhikr? Allah says they will rise blind because they could not see what is the Quran, what is dhikr, what is the benefit of dhikr. They didn't care. It wasn't for this reason that they couldn't see or they didn't know, they didn't have the knowledge. Allah says, not about that. There was nobody blind. There was nobody blind. That now you said that they were blind, mashallah. Allah says that they had understanding, they made themselves alive with the eyes of their heart. And used to run around the world blind. That's why you'll wake up blind in the hereafter. So why do we do this gathering? We can't see whose gatherings these are. This is a small introduction I gave to you, mashallah. I explained to you the connection of this gathering goes back to the Holy Prophet. So that we can be grateful, thankful servants of Allah. Don't think this is a small gathering. The peer is sitting here, Shaykh, and I'm not a peer, I'm not Shaykh, I have no capability. I'm just following my teacher. I'm following that deen, that religion, the Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to practice. I'm following that. And we are all followers of that. No action, anything that does not connect back to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that is not deen. That's the biggest innovation. That's the biggest innovation. So do you think Abu Bakr Siddiq did bidah? Innovation. Tell me. Hazrat Salman Farsi, did he do innovation? Hazrat Bayezid Bustami do bidah? Do you understand what I'm saying? So am I doing bidah? Innovation? No, but we are blind. The poor people who are blind, they don't understand this gathering. They can't see. So Allah is saying, giving us the instruction here. Allah says, on the day of judgment, they will rise up, wake up, blind people. Those who didn't value dhikr today, they're messing about. They come, they don't understand the objective of dhikr. They don't come to the gathering. It's a big punishment for those people in the hereafter. So this topic I didn't choose for nothing. It's not coming in my mind for nothing. What's the reason for us here? What's the objective? That the Holy Prophet ﷺ established a gathering. There must be a reason behind it or not, isn't it? Do you understand now? So do you know what the objective is? Why you are here? Do you know about the objective of this gathering? Such a big objective mission that we cannot imagine. It's not just we're sat here to do dhikr, Hazrat Sahib's doing dhikr, we're following the Shaykh, reciting the verses. No, that's not the objective. Open your eyes, sit down, don't be blind. Then you will see what you learn and take from this gathering. And what a great reward Allah Ta'ala selected you for this work, to go to this gathering. Allah has given you the tawfiq, the ability to be here. And Allah Ta'ala, if He wants to remove somebody, He'll remove somebody. Yes, Allah will give him some distress in the world. He won't be able to see the reality. But what we're doing here, oh, and he'll leave. He'll just scarper. Disappear. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So this is the gathering. What's the objective? Reason is so great about which Allah Ta'ala said, I created this universe. It's the same objective. Imamul Anbiya, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the head of the prophets, Imamul Anbiya, this is his gathering. The same purpose. So the purpose of this majlis is, for which reason this universe was created? That's why Allah created me and you. Same reason. What's that reason? What's that purpose? Allah Ta'ala created us for one reason. That followed the deen. What's the objective? Followed the deen. Understand the deen. Our life, that's our purpose of life, is to understand the deen and to practice the deen. That's our life. That's all it is. There's no other purpose of life. A to Z. Understand the deen that Allah has given to us and to practice that deen. Therefore, this reason, this gathering is established. And you'll say, how can this be? What does this mean? To understand the deen, to practice the deen? Why are we sat here for this? We'll ask ourselves. We're all sat here. Do we not understand the deen? Who doesn't understand that salah is important? Who doesn't understand that leaving lying is important? That to leave haram is important? Who doesn't understand? Or to trim or shave the beard is not allowed? Who doesn't understand? It's a big sin. We all know this. Those who trim and those who don't trim, they all know. Those who listen to music or don't listen to music, they know it's not right. Those sisters who do parda, observe hijab, and those who don't, they all know. Everyone knows what's right and wrong. Everyone's got the understanding of deen. Yes, everyone's got intellect, brain, this is haram, this is lawful, this is unlawful, this is wrong, this is right. Everybody knows. Then, so we have the understanding, we have the awareness, but we don't practice it. Subhanallah. We have the awareness, but we just stop there, we don't practice. It's too hard for us, we say. It's difficult to implement it, we say. To understand the deen we do, but to practice it becomes. Allah says, you don't practice. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Then your iman, you will waste it as well, down the drain. Why is it a waste? Because Allah says that deen, despite having deen iman, you're going to hell. That the decision of hell and heaven will be based on the deeds. And you're not practicing the deeds. We don't have amal in our lives. We don't consider haram as haram, halal as halal. We don't accept unlawful as unlawful. And we contaminate, we mix. So we don't follow the purpose of life. We'll go towards hell. Because we're not practicing. We do one action, we leave the other one. We do the second, we leave the third. And we do one haram, we leave the other haram, we take one haram. Halal we choose, we pick and choose daily. We don't understand the objective of deen. Why don't we follow the deen? So the real purpose of life is this. Why don't we practice the deen? It's too hard for us, we say. It's too difficult. So we have the desire, we have the passion, our heart feels that we want to be religious, and we want to become religious, and in our hearts we have that desire, that passion, and we've learned that mashallah, this is right and this is wrong. So we have that desire and passion. This is my field, and I've seen people, I saw a sister or a man, and the sister phoned up, or a man came to me, or Hazrat Sahib, give me bayah, I feel like, I want to become religious, I want to improve, I want to follow the deen, I want to do dhikr, I will do this, and I will do parda, and I will follow the rules. I said, that's very good, you have the desire. And everybody has that. People have that, different phases of life, the desire, passion, they come with, mashallah, this is a, please give me bayah, please take me as a student. And they are ready. And I said, recite this kalima, and follow this kalima after me. Then they recite the kalima. And I said, with that, are these conditions? The pray salah, fasting, do the fard. And then when I start to explain the things, that this is haram, unlawful, you'll have to leave this, and you'll have to keep the beard, or sister, you'll have to wear the burqa, the hijab. Then their voice goes downhill, cold. And that person finishes all their desire, and they start going backwards, because when they understand that there's a sacrifice to give. Yes, and then they get weak, and then I make my hand soft at that time, or I step back. I said, have a think. Yes, we'll have a think about it. And let me consult with my family, and they step back. So they had the desire, they had the passion, Allah Ta'ala sent them to the gathering, and what didn't let them implement? Because what did they see the practice as? Too hard. too difficult. So amal, when you consider amal as too hard, then I say I can't do anything with them. Then I said, then they leave the tawbah, they leave the repentance. It's easy for us to go into hell, it's easy for us to burn in fire, but to leave lying is too hard. To keep the beard is hard for us. To leave haram is hard for us. And immodest actions, oh, it's too hard for us. And jahannam for us is easy to go to hell. Jahannam looks easy for us. It's hard for us to practice deen. Yes, not to protect our eyesight. We do zina with the eyes. Yes, that's too easy for us. We'll lie easily. We won't do tawbah from interest riba, but we'll go to hell. Why? Because it's too hard for us to leave the haram. Understand what I'm saying? So we understand the deen, we understand the religion, but it's hard for us to practice. We can't leave the unlawful things. We say it's difficult, we can't practice. So my beloved Imamul Anbiya sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he do? He then established these gatherings. And he said, do you understand now the purpose of this gathering? That we come to this gathering, people will come to this majlis, and then they will understand the objective, that after understanding the deen, the thing that's hard for them to practice, then that will become easy for them through these gatherings. So these majalis gatherings, Allah has instilled a special quality and impact. Say subhanAllah. That in the dunya, a person's drowning in the world, immersed in the world, and if he comes to this gathering, he wants to improve, wants to become more religious, he wants to get out of the chains of the dunya, but because it's hard for him in the society, and he wants to leave haram, aloofal things, but it's hard for him to leave the haram. And the sister wants to wear the hijab, but it's hard for her to wear the hijab, the burqa, abaya. A brother wants to keep the beard, but it's hard for him to grow the beard. He wants to stop shaving the beard or trim the beard. It's hard. So Allah says, I'll make it easy for you, and I'll make a gathering for you. Go to these majalis and sit there in these gatherings. So these majalis gatherings, understand the purpose is what? Is that deen, to practice the deen, it makes it easier for us to practice the deen when we attend good gatherings like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand the connection? So from the hardest, the most difficult, deen isn't hard. Islam isn't hard. Allah says, I've not made anything difficult for you. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. It's not hard, it's so easy. Praying salah in the morning is so easy. There's nothing in the world more easier than pray fajr. You know, working, no business, no traveling, no eating, no drinking. Totally you're free at that time in the morning before sunrise. All you have to do is get up and pray fajr salah. You're not leaving the shop, you're not leaving your business, you're not leaving your work. What are you leaving? You're just leaving the shaitaniyat that he is inciting you not to go to the prayer. He's making it hard for you, but you're making it easy by getting up to pray. Understand what I'm saying? And it's very easy to pray Fajr Salah. Very easy. Who's stopping us at that time? My wife's not stopping you. The children aren't interested in you. No, as you're totally free. Allah says, then come to me. Pray Fajr Salah. You prostrate to me. Allah says, I'll accept your prostration. And you ask for me. Allah says, I'll give to you at that time before sunrise. Just come. And there's no work. You're free. You're sleeping. Come to me. Allah says, so what is stopping me, preventing me, is hard. So to make this hard easy, when you make it easy, then you will get the most enjoyment in Fajr Salah. Fajr Salah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand? So to make that easy for us to get up in the morning to pray Fajr, Allah says, I've established these gatherings, these majalis. Come to these gatherings. Understand the point? Understand? It's a good topic here. So when, my colleagues, when Allah has made it so easy for us, Allah says, don't do anything at all, just do one thing, just go and adhere to and join these gatherings and sit in these gatherings. Recommended gatherings, what are the recommended gatherings? That way you can get the connection to the deen of Allah. It's print, that's it, you show it. So when there's a link going from that gathering back through the mashayikh to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that's recommended. Close your eyes, don't look at the peer, don't look at the shaykh. Allah says, look at me. The person, the Holy Prophet says, look at his deen. He established, I have no capability to sit here and do dhikr. Only those people can host dhikr who are given permission by Allah. Yes, it's not easy just to do this. Allah Ta'ala says, that give different people different ni'mas. There are many rewards, treasures Allah distributes in the world. But Allah says, I give the ni'mah of dhikr to those people who are beloved to me. Beloved to me. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. So it's very easy. You see, why does Allah give this? For this reason, Allah says, that my beloved servants, I give them the ability to do my dhikr, because I want to make them my beloveds. Normal people come, pray salah, and they leave. Well, Allah says, those who want to get close to me, make them do my dhikr, that they should love me and I can love them as well. So dhikrullah is for those people. Every man, woman, normal man and woman believers, it's not for them. Allah says they get scared, they run away, they leave dhikr. Only those who love me and I love them, Allah says dhikrullah is for those people. So imagine the status. Understand the point? So if you understand, we realize now that we want to practice the deen, our purpose of life. If it's hard for us to practice Islam, then to make that hardship easy, Allah has established these gatherings. If you want to practice deen and it's hard for you, the easy way to practice deen is attend these gatherings. And when you come to these gatherings, your deen will become easier to practice. So let me explain the next point now. Next point. Because I'm going to take you to the end, to the conclusion. Let me look at the time as well, because time is short today. What time Salah is today? Okay, so I'll have to summarize as well soon. Quickly, because time will finish, it's our time. So we need to get the subject in. So we have to speak a bit in a rush. It's a limited time. So now, what do we have here now? What do we understand? That what we've discussed here already is that a person, objective of life is to practice deen, Islam. But it's hard for us. So Allah Ta'ala says that when you attend these gatherings, then it becomes easier for you. Then you start enjoying the deen. You start relaxing. You start getting the desire. You start disliking sins. You run away from the sins. You're upset. You run away from alcohol, music, singing, dancing, nakedness. You don't want to look at ghair mahram women. You say it's a waste of time. And you run away from those things. And you start going towards the good things. Why? Because that desire is within you. Yes, what injection do you get when you come to these gatherings to give you that feeling? Allah says, it's that same injection you get in these gatherings, same impact you get in these gatherings, that one mother, Allah says, I instill in the mother that injection due to that mother, she starts to rear and look after and bring up her kids. Herself, she'll lie down in the cold, but she'll put her children in the warm bed. And she will sleep on the rough ground, but she will put the child on the nice place. And everyone in the world will be sleeping, she'll stay awake. And she'll stay awake all night long to give the milk to the child. She will sacrifice everything, nothing in the world, no difficulty. No one can love the child and bring up the child more than the mother. More than the mother. The love that Allah has instilled into me. Rabbana, kama rabba yani, saghira. Allah has used the word Rabb for that person who brings up the kids. What's the second? What? Hakiki, Allah is the real Lord. But Allah Ta'ala has used that expression for the mother, the one who brought up the kids, the mother. Kama rabba yani saghira. So much love Allah has instilled into the heart of the mother for her child that she will give her life. She may burn. She may burn, she may hang, but she will not allow difficulty to come to the child. Even, subhanAllah, the mother of the animal, even the lion, the mother, the female, try to touch the cubs. Try to touch the kittens of the cat. Will the cat allow that? No. Yes, go to the deer. And the motherhood Allah Ta'ala has instilled in all of the females in the world. And due to that love, what does the mother do? Allah Ta'ala brings up the children. Today me and you were all grown up. And mashallah, it's not the mother's favor, it's the favor of Allah. He instilled the love into the mother first. For us. Allah Ta'ala, if we take the love of the mother out, that Allah Ta'ala instilled, then there's nothing. No mother would help us. Then we'll cry. Well, she said, no, I need to sleep. Yeah, I ain't going to stay up all night, look after the kids. So, mashallah, the mother, she doesn't know how did I sleep, how was I awake. And for example, if parents have disabled children, imagine how they pass their life. Those who have disabled, it's very difficult. Sabr. And I see these examples. And what is the hal of that mother? She can't sleep in the night, she can't sleep in the day, but she bears, but she doesn't leave the child. She doesn't leave the child. And never does she curse the child, always gives du'as to the child, the mother. Now the child isn't allowed to sleep, to eat or drink, but she's giving du'as. Allah give long life to my child, Allah give health to my child, Allah give strength to my child. What is this? What is this? The love that Allah has instilled into the mother. So Allah Ta'ala is deen to make it easy. There's only one thing in the world that can make that deen easy. What's that? The love of Allah. The love of Allah can make our deen easy. Remember this. Otherwise, me and you, we cannot wake up in the night, we cannot prostrate, we cannot pray salah. The more the love increases, our love for Allah Ta'ala, our Rabb, our Lord, then the more the love for the deen will become easier for us. Understand the connection? So the real thing that Allah Ta'ala has put here is in what? Is in His love, the love of Allah. So Allah Ta'ala, for practicing the deen, the tariqah He's given to us, the method, is that inside you, Allah says, that if you're not practicing the deen, the reason for this is that inside you, the thing that you are lacking is love. The love. Okay, so we don't accept this. No, I've got lots of love, I love Allah, I love the deen. So to assess this, to measure this, that how much is that person practicing the deen? And how much is he following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much does he complain about the deen and following the sunnah? How much does he make a fuss and a complaint? How much does he criticize the sharia? Why do you do this? Why do you follow this law? Why does this happen? Because he's empty, devoid of love. Where there's love of Allah and the Prophet, he won't criticize. He will say, "Amana wa sadaqna. I hear, I believe, and I will accept and I will practice." Yes, sami'na wa ata'na. There's no way, why is this, why is interest haram, why is this law, why is fajr hard, why do I have to do this, why did he get more, why have the displeasers got more money, why don't we have? These are those people who in their heart there's no love, they are empty. Their hearts are empty of life, they don't have the love for Allah. Those who have love for Allah in their hearts, love for the deen. Allah has given examples. Hazrat, subhanAllah, one of the great companions, bin Umair radiallahu anhu, he was a sahabi. And a brilliant, he had a very gentle character. And he was very wealthy, very wealthy. How wealthy was he? The 200 dirhams libas he'd wear every day. Mus'ab bin Umair, every day in that era, 200 dirham was his libas, and in the evening he'd give away. Then the next day would another piece of clothing. That's how much he was rich, wealthy, as a Mus'ab bin Umair. Great sahabi. Very wealthy. And his father passed away. And his mother was very wealthy. Business, trade, enterprise, gold, silver. He was a prince, like a prince life. And people like this who have money, wealthy. He was like a prince. SubhanAllah. And then he got the love of Allah. SubhanAllah. Mus'ab bin Umair, he had love for Allah, came to him. And when the love of Allah and his Rasul came, then he became an ashik, a lover of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then what happened? The same Mus'ab. He had love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He sat in the gathering. He had iman, belief came into him. Soon as iman, belief came to him, and his mother was a disbeliever, his family was disbelievers, all his family was disbelievers, and they said, "Take all your clothes off." And they said, "Give your money back. This is your father's money, is our money." Everything they snatched from him, to the extent that he got such hardship, Mus'ab bin Umair, they made him totally naked. And so much they made him naked that when he went in front of his mother, he was totally naked and his mother's eyes dropped. That's, imagine the situation, he was in the hardship. Everything he sacrificed, bid, what was it that was inside him that made him get to this position? Allah Ta'ala didn't just give one example. How many sahaba? More, 124,000 sahaba. All of them had the same example of sacrifice for the, due to the love of Allah. Allahu Akbar. If you take one grain of rice out of the pot, you'll know that you've just taken one rice out. To look at this, everything being cooked. You understand the example I'm giving it? One grain of rice you take out, but all the thousands are there. And all of the sahaba were the same. As a Mus'ab bin Umair, what did he do? He said, "Okay, fine. No problem." He gave everything back. His money, his clothes, his wealth, his riches. He said, "I'm not going to leave the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." He sacrificed his dunya. And when from Madinatul Manawwara, people would come to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when they came, they said, "Give us a person that he can teach us Quran." So he had the sohbah, the company. He used to see the Quran. He used to hear the Quran. The Holy Prophet looked towards his ashik, his beloved. "Mus'ab, you go and teach the Quran." "Labbaik," he said, "Labbaik." And he went. After a year, when he came to the gathering, 74 people he came with him into the deen. He said, "I've made these students of mine. SubhanAllah, I've taught them the deen." Wow. So happy was the Holy Prophet when he saw that. So this is the, imagine what will be the hereafter. And it's Uhud now. Uhud. The battle is taking place, Uhud. And the battle ended, and the shaheed were there, the martyrs. And in one place there was some shaheed, and Mus'ab bin Umair was lying on the ground, martyred. That millionaire, the son of a millionaire, he left the dunya. And his body, he had a torn waistcloth. Because every sahabi would wear the waistcloth, you know, the tahmad. The izhar, not like today, make a fuss. What did they wear? The waistcloth, the izhar, the lungi. The sunnah. And thus at least fulfill the sunnah. So it was a torn lungi he was wearing. And it was short, it was even full, complete. And he had just one garment. And one corner of Uhud, he was lying down, shaheed. The Holy Prophet Mus'ab bin Umair, they told that his body is here, he's shaheed. The Holy Prophet said, go there, straight. And they said that we have not got enough cloth to cover him. If we put it on the top, then his bottom half is uncovered. And he said, quickly, do this. That what kafan are you talking about? That mashallah, they're waiting for him in the hereafter. What's this? This is nothing here, the cloth in this dunya. So all of this, to get to this conclusion, what was the reason that he got to this position? He didn't have the cloth to cover him when he was shaheed. So today, where will we get this love? Allah says, this love, where will you get this love? The Holy Prophet isn't here physically, but in his majalis, in his gatherings, you will get the same love. This is his gathering that he established. This is his nur. His same fares, the blessings is here today in this gathering. And the fares coming to this gathering, to your life, won't delay. The Holy Prophet some fares doesn't mean you're 1,000, 2,000 miles away. No, no. Immediately, just like a current of electricity will run through the connection, through the wire. Wherever you close your eyes and ask Allah for fares, immediately, from the Holy Prophet, through the Sahab, through all the Mashaykh, it will come to your heart. The more you have the desire, the want, the need, the more the fares you will get. So tell me, how valuable are these gatherings that we are sitting in today? The human being, if he comes and sits in the gathering with this intention, this objective, and he sits, then how can his life not improve? What distance will there be left for him to get success? None whatsoever. What dirty thing in the world will become hard for him to leave? Nothing at all. How easy will it become for him to follow the sunnah of the Prophet? How much satisfaction and peace and tranquility will get in following the deen? So if we are stuck and it's hard for us to practice deen, it's too hard for us, and the dunya is more beloved to us, then understand straight away that inside us the love for Allah and His Prophet is less and is diminished. What we need to do is to sit in the company of the awliya Allah in a gathering of Allah. And what do we get in the gathering of awliya Allah? What do we get in this gathering when we sit in? What are we getting? Direct, we don't get the love connection with the Prophet. So the love of the mother Allah Ta'ala has given. Allah says, this my love, Allah says, my love, I don't give to you direct, Allah says. You have to acquire this love, Allah says. Allah says, you have to ask me for that love. You have to demand me for the love. And this is how Allah Ta'ala tells us, not just directly He's going to give it to us. Allah says, you have to work hard and make effort. Yes, so go to the gathering, the majlis. Allah says, that's where you'll get. So the mother, Allah says, what's the source that will give you the love of Allah in this gathering? What's the source? This is the same majlis accepted through where you can get this love of Allah. Remember this as well. Not every gathering is accepted that if you sit down to do dhikr, everyone's the same. No. You have to differentiate. You have to assess. Who's gathering this? Who's the sheikh? Who's the teacher? What's the line? What's the chain? This gathering is the one that's accepted where you will acquire the love of Allah. And where will you not get it? It's not accepted. Where's that gathering where the love of Allah increases? What's that? What is that? Dhikrullah and Sunnate Rasulullah. You have to get both things in that gathering. Both. Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Both things you will acquire in the gathering. Why? How will you get that? Because of the company of the awliya Allah. The company of the wali Allah, the teacher, will give you both these things. Dhikr and Sunnah. So in the gathering, first you'll get the company of the awliya Allah, the company of the friend of Allah. And through the company of the friend of Allah, you will get Dhikrullah and Sunnate Rasulullah. Both things. And when you get all these three things, the triangle, they will increase your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And soon as Allah's love increases, then the Muslim finds it easier to practice the deen. Let's do dua that Allah ta'ala makes us regular punctual in these gatherings. And completely we do our islah, we rectify ourselves. If we're not doing that, then it's destruction. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. As-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidil mursalin, shafi'il muslimin. vasanyam dasniman davayam avadam gaziram gaziram gaziram. Allahumma khfir lana zunubana wa zulmana wa hazlana wa jaddana wa khatwana wa amadana kulla zalika indana. Allahumma rabbana utina fi dunya hasanatan wa fi al-akhirati hasanatan faqina azab al-nar faqina azab al-qabr faqina azab al-hashr faqina azab al-mizan wadhulna jannata ma'al abrar ya azizu ya ghaffar ya rabbul alameen. Allahumma inna la zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatika يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات اتوب علينا يا شافي الأمراض اشف أمراضنا. اللهم اغفرنا في بدني اللهم اغفرنا في سمعي اللهم اغفرنا في بصري لا إله إلا أنت ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحابه وزواجه وزورياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب